since it's a Monday, since it's crunch time, and since it's us, let's wrap with this.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad. How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
It's so terrible. It's such a Alex isn't here to defend that intro, but that is really bad. Like, that's the first time I've heard it in a while.
You?
And it's not like bad good. I think it's bad bad.
Wow, you're just
I'm gonna bash him a little bit.
That was more than a little.
But I know it's not going to change, and that's fine, too.
Never, ever.
The Richter Scale is brought to you by Ramsey Waite. Ramsey Waite has all of your leading brands under one roof, including John Deere, Polaris, Suzuki, and more. We finally get a full weekend from morning until night, and then well after the sun has gone down, thanks to Pac-12 After Dark, of nothing but football. And we're going to start with college games on Saturday. We'll start with the Ducks as well. Exploded to 42 points in the first half over Nebraska, and then they did a great Falcons impression, almost blowing their 28-point lead, and it was down to just 7 with 2 minutes to go. Can't be many Duck fans that still have fingernails left after that second half, but the defense forcing 4 interceptions is already 5 less than the Ducks had all last year, which was 9. So all in all, how important of a win was that for the Ducks?
On a scale of 1 to 10, first of all, it's a win. Second of all, after Southern Utah, it was a spectacular jump up in the caliber of opponent. We're not really sure what Nebraska is for 2017, but to keep the ball moving forward and now 2-0 hitting the road prior to conference play as a 2-touchdown favorite, the thought that they would be unbeaten heading into Pac-12 play was not etched in stone. I'm going to give that one an 8. That's a big game. That's Nebraska. That was a hell of an atmosphere.
All right. Later in the night, Oklahoma came to the Shoe to face Ohio State and ended up upsetting the Buckeyes, capped off at the end of the night by Baker Mayfield planting an OU flag right in the middle of the O for Ohio State at midfield. It was a big statement win for Mike Riley for the Sooners. How real
Lincoln
of a...
Lincoln Riley?
Oh, see,
Riley of the Huskers. You see what happens?
I honestly think he was Mike Scow, and so I think his name is Mike Riley.
Okay.
That's just how I'm thinking right now. How real of a contender is now number 2 Oklahoma? Are they a real threat to win the title this early in the season?
Well, the thing is, in the Big 12, you've got Oklahoma State, and I think that's the only threat. So right now you're looking at, will Bedlam be for a shot to get into the college football playoff? So playoff. And the fact that they beat Ohio State is one thing. The fact that a young team with a 31-year-old coach marched into the Horseshoe and beat this Buckeye team, yeah, that's big. That's a 9.
All right. Lamar Jackson back at Louisville, and last year's Heisman winner had a humongous day against the Tar Heels. 393 passing yards, rushed for 132, and 6 touchdowns. How strong of a contender now is Jackson to win back-to-back Heismans?
Well, I was talking with George Schroeder about this a couple of weeks back. How do you win the Heisman and then come back, and hardly anybody talks about you winning the Heisman?
Almost forgotten.
It's just like, it was 8 months ago. What the hell is wrong with you? So, no, he's right back in the race. The ACC with Francois injured and Florida State out of the picture, not really sure exactly what Clemson is offensively in the absence of Deshaun Watson. There's not only him, but there might be an opening to contend for the ACC title. You win big, you get more attention. I think that performance puts him in the race at a 9.
Yeah, he won like the September Heisman last year. Ended up winning the whole thing. I think he could do it again. Now to the NFL. The Colts are without Andrew Luck, and they kind of knew that Andrew Luck wasn't going to play for weeks before this game, and it still looked like Scott Tolzien was told about 3 hours before game time he was going to start. They allowed the Rams to almost match their home scoring total in one game from last season. The Colts might have looked better if they just didn't even show up. How bad are the Colts without Andrew Luck?
Oh, my God. First of all, J.B. Long, a friend of this program who called the Oregon Southern Utah game, tweeted out that all of last year at home, the Rams scored 89 points and they scored 46 at home yesterday. That's a little bit better of an average. The Colts right now, without Luck until proven otherwise, that's perfect score. They're a 10 bad.
perfectly bad. The Seahawks struggled against the Packers on the road to open their season. Their O-line seemed to be just as bad as it was last season, not giving Russell Wilson much time to throw or any holes for any of their running backs to get through. Not to mention the best QB in the league dicing up their secondary in Aaron Rodgers. How worried do Seahawks fans need to be after this poor Week 1 performance?
That's a little more difficult to gauge. They went into Lambeau. The offense didn't look good. The defense is excellent. And Wilson is a good player. He's got some weapons. It was Week 1. It wasn't a division game. And by the way, with the way Arizona looked, and even though the Rams won in San Francisco, they are still a prohibitive favorite to win the division. So I would say it's an attention grabber, but you don't even need to acknowledge where the panic button is. I'll give it a 4.
You mentioned your G-men didn't have too great of a start to their season as well. Poor O-line and no Eldo Beckham Jr., which was a bigger factor in the Giants' poor performance. No Odell for Eli to throw to, or no O-line giving Eli time to throw to anybody.
Not only is Odell Beckham Jr.'s absence not that big a concern, certainly was for one game. He's going to be back. A lot of people said if this was Dallas for the division in December, he probably could have played. Their offensive line wasn't bad. Their offensive line might be pretty bad. They can overcome with their weapons and their defense and Eli making big plays here and there, but they have two guys in Flowers and Jerry that I'm not sure should be starters in the NFL. So as far as the offensive line goes exclusively, I'm going to call that a 7.5 on the worry scale.